everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Micronova says Peter Thiel fund pulled all of their money out of SVB on Thursday. Some other big withdrawals before the announcement of insolvency. Definitely privileged class got the word first before commoners. That is always what's happening, and it's so frustrating. Because the whole market is supposed to punish everyone equally for doing the bad decisions. And you have advanced knowledge that's supposed to be a crime, insider trading. But insider trading will rarely get pursued. I don't think we catch most of the cases. I don't think we catch 0.01% of the cases of insider trading. And I'm not sure if they would pursue it. Since it's a bank, it's not an insider trade, but it does the exact same thing as an inside trade. The guy ends up with his money while others are losing it. T.S. Apostolos says, standard operating procedure, also pay bonuses. Yeah, this is why Bitcoin is so important. This is why the decentralized finance is important. It's because all these people are serving themselves. They're creating a fake meritocracy. And I'm so happy that it's being undermined. I'm so happy that eventually the normie plex around this whole system of fraud will crumble and it will fail. Rodilacid says, Paul Pelosi does it openly. Tell me the system isn't rigged. Yeah, and it's supposed to be this thing, that the whole idea of a stock market and investment works if there's an actual meritocracy in people genuinely pursuing, this company has good chances to succeed. That is where it's clever. That is where it brings the intelligence of a contributing class that chooses where they invest, and they end up paying the price of, but we're not there. We are in the, oh, I'm investing here. Oh, I'm selling before the trouble comes in. And so there's no link anymore between the success of a corporation and the intelligence of the people who selected it. We have totally undermined here meritocratic capitalism. Silver Spider says, Jeff should do a show with Molyneux on Bitcoin. I don't know what's up with Stefan, you know, but it seems that he always wants to disagree with me. He feels better being against me than on my side. And it sucks so much that he's that way. Because even when we tag teamed against another side, when the other side started saying, Stefan Molyneux, aren't you ashamed of being on the side of JF? He ended up saying something like, well, it's not so important who I'm on the side of. What's important is my arguments. Like, almost half throwing me under the bus. Like, cannot even stand for his tag team partner and say, no, I'm proud to be with JF. So no, I don't think we're ever going to speak about Bitcoin. Stefan Molyneux he has this kind of belief that he has to hate me. And that proves to you that Stefan Molyneux ultimately is so impacted by the normie plex, by the regular media coverage. Like, he probably read something bad about me and he got influenced by it. Too bad for a libertarian, for a free thinker, you know, the first thing you want to show is that you're able to think freely from the media. Silver Spider says, Jeff, you went against UPB. He thinks you are trying to destroy morality. There's that, but that came so much later. You know, I started knocking on Stefan Molyneux when he would refuse after years and years of me writing to him and saying, hey, we should talk about the revolutionary phenotype. Hey, we should do this. And you know, now Stefan Molyneux has a very small show. I think he was on BitChute and Odyssey lately. Why didn't you use your 100,000 people show to have a good relationship with me, to chill and talk about science and talk about stuff that's positive? It seems that every time I'm with this guy, he has to reduce it to an opposition with me when we must agree on 99% of the things. Does nobody talk about how abortions are on a woman, are hard on a woman? TikToker mourns her abortion and candidly shares, I hate myself every day.
Does nobody talk about how hard abortions are on a woman? It's probably been a month. And I hate myself every day. It sucks because in the moment I felt like I was doing the right thing. But
you killed a baby. Of course you didn't do the right thing. You had the chance to be a mother. You may never be a mother again. Who knows? You may be so broken by these events. You may never get your chance again. Always hang on to life, lady.
But every time I'm going to bed or I'm just alone, I just think about, like, what if?
Like, look at the makeup on this girl. This could have fed food for a baby for 30 days.
Because I'm not a child, like, I'm an adult. So this shit just, like, hit me on a different level. I had all the means in the world to do it on my own. But I thought, like, I did it so that it would benefit not just me, but also everyone else. And I'm just so broken. I didn't even get the chance to, like, be at home or anything. Like, I just went to work. And I just want this to be over with already. Like, I'm emotionally drained. I can't do this anymore.
Oh, God. It's good that this is spreading. TikTok, you know, sometimes there are based moments on TikTok, and it's good that the new generation is very much exposed to these things, so they see they see the reality of it that they would not see 10 years ago. They wouldn't have a woman like this crying, someone like who's 16, 17, 18, learns about life, a woman, becomes an adult woman. She wouldn't know that there are women crying out there because they regret the abortion right after. Silver Spider says, I wish I had 10 babies. We miscarried the first time after 2 months, and now we have one boy. Well, that is so awesome. Miscarriages are not to be they're not to be taken emotionally. They're not to be regretted. You know, some people have this reaction where the miscarriage happens and then they think, oh, well, okay, let's stop. Let's stop. No, the miscarriage must be an encouragement to keep going. Because the miscarriage may be ultimately a good decision of nature. You have to leave it to nature. If your baby didn't survive in the womb, perhaps it was not a good genetic combination. Perhaps there was one gene from the father combined with one gene of the mother that didn't go well together. So miscarriages are absolutely fine. It's nature's way to do some early sorting without consuming much of your parental care. And it's no reason to stop. Lendald Guntram says, Brett Weinstein thinks very highly of himself. Have you guys seen some clips of him when he was on the Rogan show? He indirectly but operationally declared himself second after Professor Witten. I was like, holy shit, this guy is nuts. I don't know what circumstance he has said this, so I would have to review. I haven't seen that part of his interview on Rogan, so I don't know, but perhaps he does. You know, what's still lacking from Brett is a theoretical innovation that spans the entirety of biology that has massive consequences. We still haven't seen this. Now, with a very favorable coverage with a discussion with Eric Weinstein, his brother, he did have Eric Weinstein make the case somehow, which was pulled by the hair, you know, make the case that he should have a Nobel Prize for his thoughts about telomerase that were stolen from him. That was out there. That was certainly not deserving of a Nobel Prize. And I think that Eric Weinstein there was exaggerating due to familial kin relationship. Rhode Innocent says, didn't Brett have his own research plagiarized by his research director? So he should know. Not his research director. He claimed that it was a woman out there who, I believe, who went on to get the Nobel Prize for her work on aging. Not sure I remember who that was. But he did claim in a podcast that that somehow he got stolen his idea about telomeres. And he saw this woman later use this idea in her PowerPoints. How is that not the same thing as what you did to pathogenetics, who's now away from the internet because he was intimidated? How is that not the same thing? All I'm asking is for attribution, recognition of where you took it. Holy shit. That shouldn't be that hard. It should be like, oh, JF, you're exaggerating with your videos. That was an error. Sorry. Here, pathogenetics, I took the numbers from you. Simple as this. Solved in 3 seconds. But no, instead I have to spend the rest of my life being like, what the fuck? What the fuck? There's a guy out there who doesn't care about proper attribution, but is willing to claim that when people take things from him, he should be attributed. What the fuck? Why do I have to live this life? I would have liked to I would have preferred living the life in which I spend the rest of my life saying, okay, Brett resolved this in 2 seconds. JF, you may have gone a little far with your Twitter video. JF, you may have wanted to have talked about it publicly with privately with Brett Weinstein before you published this gigantic hashtag WeinsteinGate video. But no, I would have loved living with regret. But I can't regret because look at what we had. We had a public meltdown of, oh, well, his fans are Nazis. Anyways, I shouldn't talk about this because it's frustrating. It is extremely frustrating to me. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Micronova has sent a super chat. Oh, yeah, I read it. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. And I've rolled out Entropy. Entropy is not in the description links anymore. That wasn't the main way in which people were supporting the show, and I knew that I was just keeping it because a lot of you were habituated from the YouTube days. I wanted to keep it stable as I did my transition to Odyssey, but it's better we go forward with Odyssey only. Silver Spider says, Jeff could have lived the life of a normie plumber and never have learned about any of these topics. Yes. Yes. The pursuit of maybe the university world is a place for where I can feel at home is what sent me on all this stuff. And it wasn't, as it turned out, but I reached the highest levels of it before I fully was able to admit it to myself. But yeah, I could have been a plumber, could have been very happy. That's all I need from life. Family life, money to just survive, and that's it. Now, the adventures I got onto the internet, of course, I really love. And so, but I think I would have ended up being a streamer even if I wasn't a PhD. I think that this was in my blood. Black Tie says, JF, the normie plumber in a healthy white Quebecois ethno state. Well, that is less likely. Clown World reports Keto Olbermann was encouraging people to report the tweet of Elon Musk saying that it's a violating rules by denying a violent event. Elon Musk had said, I'm not part of MAGA, but I do believe in fairness of justice. Chensley was falsely portrayed in the media as a violent criminal. Well... Elon Musk told him, have you considered a career in comedy? Yeah, you're not going to get the Twitter staff to ban their own boss. It can't happen. On top of it, this is not a denial of a violent event. Elon Musk didn't say there was no violence at all anywhere. He said Jacob Chansley was falsely portrayed as a violent man, and we can see that he was basically taken around by the police. I have purchased another ordinal because I'm getting ready to publish my letter to humanity that will be forever recorded into the future. I'm done writing it. I have sent it to Correction. Our friend Fadam on Discord has accepted to review it, and he will make his own changes and propositions. And I wanted to check, can I sign this with accents? Because my name, Jean-François Gariepy, has a CCD. It has an E accent aigu in the name. I was like, will this pass on an ordinal? So I created an ordinal on the Bitcoin blockchain that says, this wallet is owned and maintained by Jean-François Gariepy, PhD, author of The Revolutionary Phenotype, The Amazing Story of How Life Begins and How It Ends. And the Bitcoin ordinal, the Bitcoin blockchain, has preserved the accents in exactly the way I wanted them to. So that's beautiful. It means it's well set. We will be able to have our letter to humanity. The letter to humanity is quite interesting. Like I'm really taking a perspective that someone would read this in maybe 20,000 years. And in 20,000 years, they would have started doing much genetic editing of their children. And I'd be like, you've committed a mistake. Let me take you through how you ended up that way and why it was a mistake. And you should revert course now. That is how I wrote the letter. And it's it's with the goal of reverting the process of the phenotypic revolution, no matter when people read it. Ariel Suarez says, 20,000 years? Wow. Well, yeah, I mean, that's my kind of target. But at the same time, I wrote the text so that anyone before, anyone after will feel that the letter is also written for them. But yeah, I kind of use that point as a reference, because if I write it to 50,000 or 100,000 years in the future, I might be writing to just the revolutionary phenotype and there may be no humans left. So I thought, let's write to these humans where it's still doable to revert course. And I ended the letter by saying, there is no in-between. Actually, let me read you the conclusion. Yeah, this is not the final conclusion, but I said either the human genome continues to evolve or the quantum rises. There is no possibility in between. And I've added some things before, after, and between those sentences. But so, yes, that is how it finishes. I tell people, you have a shot at continuing human existence, but you must take action now. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, you are very generous to give humanity another 20,000 years. Yeah, of course, if things go faster, this letter can be read also in 2 years from now, or it can be read in 50 years from now, you know? Silver Spider sends a super chat. He says, hey, Jeff, thanks for becoming a crazy guy on the internet defending liberty so I could drop out of university, become a normie electrician, and eventually find your show and normie life unsustainable anyway. Awesome. Are you truly an electrician, or that's just a way of representing yourself? But that is superb. It's superb if I've encouraged people not to take the paths that were consuming too much time from my life and that ultimately weren't worth it. Ariel Suarez sends a super chat. He says, could I purchase a copy of this letter, Dr. Gariepy? I mean, if you want, I could mint one, but you're gonna have a later timestamp. So I would emit the first copy of this letter at a given timestamp. If you want, if that's exciting to you, I could create a second ordinal at a later timestamp, and I could send it to you if that's what you like. Anyways, the letter will be publicly accessible because it will be on the blockchain. You'll be able to go to a website and it will automatically show it to you. And also, it will be public domain, so you'll be able to make your own copies in principle. All you would have to do is copy-paste my original ordinal and write it in your own ordinal. But if you want the ordinal to have been created by my hand, maybe I can do that, sure. But you could also create your own because it's going to be public domain. All right, Justin, Binance temporarily suspends auto-conversion of USDC to BUSD, citing market conditions and high inflows. So USDC is depegged, and many stable coins are getting depegged. The current state of the market today, USDC minus 9%, so you get 91 cents for them. DAI at 93 cents, TrueUSD at 99 cents, Pax Dollar at 98 cents, USDD 95 cents, Gemini Dollar 96 cents, Fei at 92 cents, and Frax at 91 cents. The stablecoin market is in turmoil. USDC stablecoin breaks peg as Circle admits billions stuck with SVB. So the whole thing started with the fact that SVB, the Silicon Valley Bank, as we talked about yesterday, SVB has been caught in a bank run and eventual bankruptcy proceeding, basically, the equivalent for banks, FDIC takeover. And so that made people nervous because there are some important companies and important people who have their deposit at the SVB. Now, as much of a doomer I am, I would love to see the world fall. I think my impression is this is not a FTX situation. And I think much of the market nervousness around this is overblown. Because it seems that people didn't have a massive fraction, like USDC. They had a small fraction of their US dollars in this bank, SVB. It was very small. It was something like, I don't know, what was it 4%, something like this. And whatever that 4% is in terms of amount of raw money, they're going to recover much of it because it's not a case where someone run with the money. It's just a case of broken liquidity. Okay, so it was $3.5 billion. So USDC had $3.5 billion there. It's not the majority of their having. So then if they have $45 billion total, that would place them at maybe 5-6% of their assets. They can handle this probably. They can handle this for various reasons, but ultimately never is the case that everyone wants their USD back, except when the American government goes after you and destroys your business, basically. So if that doesn't happen, USDC will probably recover from this, because even that small percentage of their assets, they will recover a great proportion of it, because I'm sure at SVB that it's not a case where people ran away with billions of dollars. I'm sure it's a problem of no liquidity for a moment. And that although you'll have lawyers paying themselves fees and all this crap, at the end, they're going to recover probably a large fraction, more than 50% of their deposits. I'm pretty sure. Now, I don't know for sure, so don't bet on this. Okay, so it was $3.3 billion out of its $40 billion reserves. But that's a small percentage. It's going to be easily recoverable. And Circle, who is at the heart of USDC, said, following the confirmation at the end of today that the wires initiated on Thursday to remove balances were not yet processed, $3.3 billion of the $40 billion of USDC reserves remain at SVB. Like other customers and depositors who relied on SVB for banking services, Circle joins calls for continuity of this important bank in the U.S. economy and will follow guidance provided by state and federal regulators. Speaker's Corner says it's 10%, which is basically what it's trading at now. So the way I see it, yes, as Speaker Corner says, 10% discount. That's how I see it, because I don't see USDC crashing from this. I see them having not availability directly of that liquidity right now, but I don't know that they need it. So within a month, this will be resolved, and certainly they won't have lost the whole 10% of their assets. If I was to make a guess, they're going to get back 8, 9% of it at least. And so I think it's overdone to be saying that USDC has lost 10% of its value. At best, it has lost 1% of its value. And yes, Speaker's Corner says actually it's back up to 96 cents already. So I think the people who sold at the bottom out of nervousness, they haven't done their homework. If I had any USDC, I would have been stoic through the week, because I don't see how this leads to a crash. Elon Musk may buy failed Silicon Valley Bank. I covered that news yesterday, but MSM.com is covering it today. Someone sent this on the chat. Tesla's CEO says he's open to the idea of Twitter acquiring the Californian bank that was shut down on March 10 by regulators. SVB was a very important bank in the venture capital ecosystem. It's a bank that we worked with significantly. They held our deposits when we had deposits with them. That's the guy from Launchpad Capital. Yeah, it's a bank that was starting startups in the big Silicon Valley style. So yes, I covered this news. Elon Musk tweeted some interest. He said, sure, I'm open to the idea. I don't know if it's going to happen, though. And I don't know if... It's certainly not the kind of bank that Elon Musk probably had in mind. If Elon Musk wants anything, it would be a bank that is focused on the detail, on the everyday people having their bank accounts. A bank like this that's within the venture capital system is something that doesn't fit the project of Elon Musk for Twitter and for X.com. Because what he wants is a bank for the people. Look at his Starlink stuff. What is Starlink? Well, it's a bunch of satellites that is totally geared toward detailing, selling internet connections to single human beings. Is Twitter Blue, selling Twitter Blue subscription to single human beings. That is how Elon Musk thinks. He thinks large adoption. He thinks solving the problem of the everyday people at the lowest levels of society. I don't see him. I don't see this occasion being that spectacular for him, because being well put in the circles of venture capital is not a strategic advantage for Twitter right now. It's not a strategic advantage for what Elon Musk wanted to do with Twitter. So I'm going to make the call that after giving thought about it, Elon Musk will not buy SVB. There is no reason for him to do so. You know, SVB is taking high risks investments, basically allowing these high-risk startups of Silicon Valley to have a rolling account with rolling reserves. why would Elon Musk want to do this? If he wants to do this, he can already do it with his Tesla money and bet his Tesla stock on birthing a new startups. That's how he would do. He would do private equity. Why would he need that bank which offers services to these startups? That being said, it's possible that SVB has a set of already set up procedures around electronic payments that he may be interested in acquiring. That is possible. But my guess is, since it was a bank that was doing such massive amounts of money, like hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars, my guess is they probably work very much with the interbank US transfers and the SWIFT transfers for international transfer. And those are extremely high fee transfers, not in the sense of thousands of dollars, but in the sense of $50 a transfer for SWIFT, and relatively high fees for, not as much as this, but smaller fees for inter-US bank transfers. So all of this taken together, those are not the kind of fees that Elon Musk is interested in if he wants to do an internet bank for the everyday people. Elon Musk will be looking at solutions that are more software-based, that are more like, I send money from my Twitter account to your Twitter account, and it's all happening internally at Twitter. That's what he will look for, and buying a bank won't help him there. Black Tie says, DAI is the best stable coin because all of the collateral that backs it is on-chain. The only issue with DAI is that a decent chunk of their collateral is USDC, which is an untrustworthy stablecoin. Ah, yeah, I didn't know this. Well, thanks for letting me know, because the Backed By website of Dick Masterson works on DAI. So since there are three donors already on Backed By, and if you do have some DAI, feel free to subscribe to the show on Backed By, if you can access the Polygon chain. So I do have some DAI. I do have this. I find it a bizarre name. It's like DAI, which is supposed to be pegged to the US dollar. And I'm like, DAI, there's no USD in there. If you want to make a stable coin that's pegged to the US dollar, you have to name it USD something. Speaker's Corner says USDT is the boss of stable coins. Yeah, people were noting that BUSD and USDT seem to be the two that have survived the turmoil today. They are the ones who are still pegged, and they went a little bit above $1, probably because there was so much people running away from USDC. Now, excellent news concerning all this market crap. Harry and Meghan, the monarchists who have revolted against their family because they were racist, Harry and Meghan stand to lose millions in collapse of SVB Bank. Sources tell ISN the couple set up accounts following the advice of friends in Silicon Valley. This is a major blow, said our source. They had all of Harry's money there. Breaking, sources say Harry and Meghan preparing to sue financial advisors over failure of SVB. They're claiming they were misled about the level of risk they were being exposed to, said a person with direct knowledge of the situation. They've been harmed substantially. You can't help but enjoy this. I love it when a guy with a hammer and a steel plate is more stable than this entire circus of jerks who are born rich and they lose their money because some counselor has told them, do this with your money. And I love that all that Harry could have done to not lose his money is take a hammer and a steel plate, make up 24 Bitcoin words and you would still have all of it. I love it that Bitcoin is rising in the background of all this crap. People are now investigating what was SVB doing with money. Well, they were hiring J.R. Sapa, head of financial risk management and model risk, Silicon Valley Bank UK Limited. The phrase, you can't be what you can't see, resonates with me. As a queer person of color and a first-generation immigrant from a working-class background, there were not many role models for me to see growing up. I feel privileged to co-chair the LGBTQ plus ERG and help spread awareness of lived queer experiences, partner with charitable organizations, and above all, create a sense of community for our LGBTQ plus employees and allies. Well, at least if not all of the money comes back, those people can be reassured. Harry and Meghan, your money was used for good stuff, good queer promotions, LGBTQ plus promotions. So in a way, you owed that money to the people you've oppressed. You know, we're talking about the descendants of the English regime. They have caused a lot of violence out there. They should pay back. They should have paid back more, really. They should be depositing more right now at the SVB Bank. Thomas O'Ward says, Matt Gaetz says in an interview, he will lead the opposition to bailing out the Silicon Valley Bank. I have my doubts he will be successful. Tech billionaires Harry and Meghan are too big to fail. We've been down this road before. Oh yeah, I would love to see the tides turn, but I don't think the tides will turn. I think there's not going to be a dollar missing. And if there's a dollar missing, they're going to invent it for them, which sucks so much because here's an opportunity for people to, like, if there was a real failure and really it goes to the ground and completely destroyed and everyone loses their money, then it would be an opportunity for the natural aspects of competition to say, hey, going forward, we are safer with Bitcoin. But this will never happen because you're always safer with this, the game that's set for you to always win. That's how rich people will think. That is sad. I have a sad news in there. With USDC insolvency fears rampant, some people have been transferring money nervously and never transfer money under nervousness, the kind that can cloud your judgment. Here's a guy whose $2 million reserve, because he was too nervous in the transfer of it, converted to 5 cents. $2 million vaporized into 5 cents. How can that happen? Well, he used Uniswap, and the reserves were low at this particular moment, and he forgot to put a slippage limit. Now, Uniswap is a decentralized system, so there's no one supervising it to make sure that the platform is safe at all times. So when you go on there and you trigger something, it's an operation that will be completely mathematically performed by the blockchain without any human intervention. So if you say, don't care about the slippage, I've never said the slippage and it's always been working. Well, the problem is in an extreme situation where there's really zero reserve, the mathematics are going to say, okay, this guy really doesn't care about the slippage. We're going to give him what we can give him, 5 cents. Yes, it could be easily avoided, Barnaby Buto. But, you know, somehow, you know, the whole structure of these wallets and these interactions with the smart contracts on the blockchain, there's a lot of options in there. And sometimes the user will have been gotten used to a way that works and they're not going to think about it. And they're going to say, oh, slip edge, you know, do I care about losing 1-2%? No. But hey, the slip edge here was 99.999%. So the unfortunate soul used the Kyber Swap aggregation router to dump a large clip of 3CRV, DAI, USDC, USDT, LP tokens into USDT. This is already a questionable decision since you could just withdraw the LP into USDT for 6% slippage, but maybe he got desperate. In his haste to swap, he neglected to set his slippage correctly, or like at all. He hits send. The next actor in our story is Uniswap V2 pool, pairing 3CRV USDC. This pool contained about $2 in liquidity and had sat idle for the last 251 days. So basically, he used a very out there exotic pool that didn't have liquidity. So on top of it, of not having liquidity, if you let the slippage not cancel the transaction at the last minute, it's going to happen. It's going to happen with the $2 left. 2 million 3CRV slam into the pool with the force of 1,000 suns. I love the written description here. That's good writing, bow-tied pickle. 2 million 3CRV slam into the pool with the force of 1,000 suns. And X times Y equals K does its grim work. Exactly 54,182 units of USDC, worth about 5 cents, leave the contract for the second leg of the swap, where they are happily swapped into USDT and go on to the swapper. The pool, now hideously imbalanced, cries out for aid. An MEV bot answers the call and gently restores the balance by exchanging 1.45 USDC for the 2 million 3CRV in the pool. The bot paid $45 in gas and $35,000 in MEV bribes, netting $2 million in profit. This was not a particularly complex bot. Backrun, flash bots, plus the ability to unwrap 3CRV. That's it. Equal opportunity, unequal results. Let me be clear. Fault with this is twofold. A, the user clearly did not understand or properly set slippage. B, the router mysteriously routed a 2 million trade through a dead Uniswap pool with $2 of liquidity. This was not a sandwich attack. MEV bot just cleaned up afterwards. Update, Kyber Swap postmortem basically confirms what we suspected, that the user accepted an exceptionally low output amount. Our team was alerted to a trade that encountered an unusually low return on the user swap. Our team is working hard to resolve this unfortunate matter. Summarize details below. So I don't know if the guys, maybe he's in contact with them, maybe he's going to get back part of the money, because if it's a company that's behind the bot, they will want to honor, you know, they won't want to have run away with $2 million, even if technically it's their $2 million now. The guy has accepted a low slippage. It's probably going to get fixed in some way. Philosoraptor says, Canadian banks erased $19.7 billion in value on Silicon Valley bank contagion. As Canadian, should I keep some of my money outside the bank and in cash beside what I have in Bitcoin and gold? Are you trying to have me commit a crime, sir? Are you trying to have me get my people nervous, run to the bank and withdraw money? Are you insane? Do you know I would get arrested if I was to do this? The banks are trustable, sir. The banks are trustable. No, I mean... I personally never keep money in the bank, like not just sleeping money. I keep a bottom of money that's useful for my functioning and expenses. But I don't keep assets in the bank as a place to store money. That is not how I see banks. Banks to me are a transactional functional entity. You need a little money in there just so that your bills can be paid, your grocery store shopping can be done, your survival is insured. But I personally never leave money in the bank more than this. If I have extra money, I buy Bitcoin with it. Micronova says, yes, he was telling me this could be financial advice. Be careful. No, but which is why I yelled at him first. And no, I'm not giving financial advice at all. I'm telling you as a person what I do. That's always how I phrase it. And if I forget to phrase it that way, it is just an omission. Really, anything you can hear on this show is not telling you what to do. It's telling you what I do as an individual, because I have the right to express myself. Because this show is all about get intimate with JF. This show is like the JF Lounge. Come and let me tell you about my emotions. So I'm sharing with you my financial emotions. Rodita says, kind of like, this is not medical advice, so go get vaccinated. Yeah, I mean, if they were to start going after people giving professional advice, there might be a couple of people out there who have recommended vaccines that might be good targets, much better targets than me. If you really want to put an end to bad advice, go at them. Micronova says, soon JF will sell his bottles of bat water. Oh yeah, that would be fun. Proud Boys, January 6th sedition trial halted after leaked chat logs show FBI agent said her boss ordered her to destroy evidence. Holy shit. So, were ordered to be destroyed. Email correspondence between these people stating, also, my boss assigned me 338 items of evidence I, sick, have to destroy. Well, thankfully, the defendant had access to this evidence. I mean, it's very relevant, which is why it sucks that so many other people have been prosecuted, and I don't feel that like they had a fair trial. A lot of stuff gets found out much later in other cases, and you're like, if that's how they were acting, like admitting in a written form on your phone, probably your job phone, because if we have the records, it's probably not her private phone. Admitting or email, private email, admitting that you have been asked to delete evidence. That's what they do. Steven Robinson says, JF, what amount of money would you think is appropriate to keep in cash away from the banks before going all in with investments? That is something you have to weigh on yourself based on the stability of your life and the regularity of your incomes. So it's not something where there's a one-size-fits-all approach. Like Papa JF is living a higher-risk life. So Papa JF must have a bottom that is slightly higher in terms of capacity to improvise, because at any time I can lose my funding streams. Like YouTube decided to steal me $4,000 and like they demonetized me and they ran away with the last month of Super Chats. I have to prepare for that kind of circumstances. So because of this, I have to stay with a relatively big amount to cover when these... I basically have to assume, what if I was to lose everything? What if I was to lose my Odyssey channel? What if Patreon banned me? What if Subscribestar banned me? So because of this, I have to plan so that I can at least have 3 months in the future where I'm already set for it. Now, if you are working on a weekly basis, getting your salary every week, and it's a stable job, you know, there's no way you're going to lose it. Or if you lose it, you're going to have some bonus at the end to help you get yourself back on the feet. That may require less of a bottom in your bank account. But basically, the thumb rule that I like to follow is, could I survive 3 months without income? That's how I approach it. But that's with high risks. And that's also, you have to know, what are the facilities by which you could complement that amount if an emergency was to happen? So for example, do you have a lot of Bitcoins? If you have a lot of Bitcoins, you know that you can run your bank account at the low, and that worst case scenario, I can sell Bitcoin. And so that can give you a security. If you have 0 Bitcoin and really what's in your bank account is everything that's liquid, then, and let's say you invest in stocks and stocks are harder to sell and longer to sell, you're going to want to take all these things into account. Speaker's Corner says, how many is a lot, JF? Well, I will not answer specific questions of that nature. Record Bank run, but let me tell you, I don't live in luxury, neither in my life nor in my bank account, you know, so I don't live in luxury. I really dedicate my life to accumulating the most Bitcoin possible for my children. That is what I do. So everything you can imagine, I'm not living the life. When I see TV, you know, reality TV, with these bitches of Beverly Hills, or what's the name of it? You know, the housewives of something, housewives of Atlanta. These women and the decor in which I see them, I'm like, holy shit. Just the chandelier, I would not buy. And they're like, they have the chandelier, they have the golden ramps, they have everything. Like, I work at the minimum below the radar, and I can't fathom that you would be so wasteful with money. Record Bank run drained a quarter or 42 billion of SVB's deposits in hours, leaving it with negative 1 billion in cash. Of course, as I discussed, and that was a news I covered yesterday, but as I discussed, I think it's a liquidity problem and most of it will be recuperated by the depositors. Maybe in fraction, maybe 80%, 90%, 95%. I don't know, but it's not going to be a total destruction. New body cam shows efforts to save Rosen Boyland on January 6th. Oops, sorry, the volume was a little high. You can see that they're working hard to resurrect her, and eventually they bring her back. And look at them, they're all nervous and they're pulling out this is the electric shocks to resurrect the art. How do you get it up? Well, it's a sticker. You get it off by pulling it. It's a sticker, really.
How do you get it off?
It's a miracle that they don't electrocute themselves, you know? She has a glove. She's handling these things. Doesn't seem to know exactly how it works. All of this to say, when they say the deadly January 6th, event, It was deadly. It was deadly for Ashley Babbitt, who got shot unjustifiably without any trace of her having dangerous weapons of any kind. It was deadly, apparently, for Rosen Boyland. It was deadly for the protesters, and Rosen Boyland was beaten for many minutes by the police before it got to, oh, well, now we have to care for our health. Because, of course, the police all know the legal precedent. You can beat someone, but then you have to show on camera that you then tried to save their life. That is just what the legal precedent is. If you do nothing, then you may be held to some kind of neglect, not having given proper care, etc. But if you can show yourself, even if you're stumbling and you don't quite know how the electrical shocks work, you're going to have your mens rea, I was trying to save her. I don't think she benefited from very good health care there, but that's how it is. Ralph Retard has a Jordan Peterson moment. He admits that he's been mixing benzodiazepine. He has benzodiazepine syndromes, withdrawal syndrome. So he's addicted to the very same thing that sent Jordan Peterson to Russia. He had 6 or 7 seizures from his withdrawal symptoms, and he's not even off benzodiazepine. He is just progressively tapering off.
Except I overindulged when I got back because I was depressed about my mom. I overindulged in alcohol, which is, of course, completely legal. Then they got me on this Xanax.
Isn't it amazing how I was interacting with this guy years ago, and my impression was that we were pretty much the same. We were the same age, we were same level of health. But look at how old, look at how he has become. I mean, I remember Ethan being relatively energetic in a video that I've reviewed, where I could see his belly movement kind of going back and forth. I remember an energetic Ralph. And now look at us. I mean, I feel like I've aged 3 times slower than him.
Thing, and it's like, dude, I got a prescription for Xanax. Honestly, I'm about to stop taking it because...
Well, no, Stephen Robinson, that's the thing. I don't dye my hair. Those are my real hair. There's no dyeing hair. So that is fascinating to me.
I feel like it slows me down. Like, I don't need that much Xanax. I mean, obviously, right? Like, I can get it, but, like, I don't even need that, right? Like, matter of fact, I think it slows me down.
Well, yeah, benzodiazepine slows you down. That's the least it does.
So, I'm in the...
Philosoraptor says he aged at the speed of science. Well, yeah, as a result of consuming benzodiazepine, of course.
Process of getting off of that. So, it is a process. If you saw Keffels talking about it, I don't know if they really have benzodiazepine withdrawal syndrome, but I know for a fact that I do have it because I've had like 6 or 7 fucking seizures. And so I can't just stop taking Xanax. I'm like, oh, just stop taking it. Okay, well, you might see me flip-flopping out on the ground. But what I can do is taper. That's what I've been doing. And I know how to taper. I've tapered 1 million times. Nobody knows more about...
So he's been tapering 1 million times. That looks like someone who's addicted as much as Jordan was to benzodiazepine. Anyways, it's not that I like to t- talk about Ralph, he's on my blacklist, but I always promise that when you're on my blacklist, I will only write your obituary. But I can also make exceptions when the news is particularly dishonorable. I can cover negative news about him, so that's what I've been doing today. Ye says, he's an addict. I used to be the same way. I cannot believe that benzodiazepine is relatively common in psychiatric practice, that it's something that doctors would be like, oh yeah, you suffer from anxiety, benzo. I mean, my doctor is against it, so it's not... My doctor makes the difference between the anti-anxiety meds that are, you know, low addiction and those like benzo that can ruin your life. But I can't believe that people are distributing this like popcorn. Nothing like the sun says, I once took Xanax. I spent days watching Tour de France Happy Days. New guy says, put off anxiety today, suffer it tomorrow. Well, that is certainly what happens with improper medication. But there are very soft medications available for anxiety. And when you have such a massive thing as Xanax, it's like, of course, it might fix your anxiety. But it's going to come with much more problems than it fixes. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, did you see Milo made a statement that Kanye had gay relationships? Yes, I covered this 3 or 4 days ago. Says, Jeff, when I first started going to ERs or rehab facilities for alcohol withdrawal syndrome, benzodiazepine, like Librium, are what they prescribe and what you tape off of under supervision. Yeah, okay. This whole idea of having an intermediary drug to taper off another drug. Don't know. It may have its use in extreme cases, but I don't see it as a good practice for the everyday doctor who just has patients coming in, and they're of all kinds of patients, and they have low degrees of withdrawal symptoms, and they're not that addicted to alcohol. If you end up at the ER, I can understand that maybe it's something you need. Justin, Robin Hood suspends USDC trading and deposits. The big question is, are these things crashing because they have to crash, or are these things made to crash? Because when I see how Robin Hood acted in cases like the GameStop craze and the AMC craze, Robin Hood often ends up in a position where it's causing some of the issues that it's complaining about. Like, why shouldn't USDC still be transferable to your platform, but you would acknowledge that it's not worth $1 anymore? The thing is, when you freeze people like this, you create a bunch of stuck money that gets nervous, that ends up making transactions that they regret. You create more anxiety to add onto the current run. So I don't know. And the way the government intervenes in these crises is also highly questionable in my view, because they seem to be causing troubles that could have been solved if they hadn't intervened. They take over in a way that neutralizes the company, but in a way that also breaks it down, that also creates nervousness on the markets. Locked away in conspiracy theorist camps, the Orwellian dystopia of the censorship industrial complex. Michael Schellenberger and Matt Taibbi testified before a subcommittee of the U.S. House of Representatives about the censorship industrial complex, the U.S. arm of the global official propaganda and disinformation apparatus that has been waging an all-out war on dissent for the best part of the last 6 years. Absolutely, a major business has emerged in creating, in pursuing censorship. And it all started with the Jared Holtz of this world that went after a racist because they were paid to go after a racist. And I hear that Jared Holtz has now converted his operations to specializing in misinformation. So it's a bunch of professionals who make... Oliver Darcy at CNN is in the same situation. They make a living out of trying to destroy legitimate interactions that happen between third parties that have asked nothing of them. I want to talk to you guys. I don't want to talk to Jared Holt. I don't want to talk to Oliver Darcy. And yet, there's so much demand and so much money that they end up doing these things. Data Adzard, I've been loving the content of this guy for 2 days. I've made shows about his stuff, and here's a third day right now. He says he points to this graph and he says that graph tells you exactly when America went wrong. Number of liars per 100K U.S. population. Look at this in the 70s. Poof. In the 1980, it goes 58% up, and it was still very high and positive growth in 90s, in 2000s, 2010. We may be entering finally a relief here, where we may go into the negative domain. But it's such a scam, these liars that are... They put themselves in the monetary system between you and your rights. They make it so that you have your only way sometimes is to pay your way to recover your rights, which should be granted to you from the start. You shouldn't need a lawyer. You should have good judges that respect pro se litigants and that say, it's going to be a very hard threshold for me to impede on this guy's right. But that's not what we have. We have judges who are making their whole effort to maintain this scam that the lawyer industry is. Micronova sends a super chat. He says, Robin Hood is actually robbing the hood. They sell retail investor intentions to ruler class investors. Robin Hood affecting emotions of retail investors makes Robinhood more money. Yeah, exactly. Given their position in the market, it's extremely worrying because now you have not only a dishonest player because ultimately they're selling your info, but they're causing your nervousness and your info, which they are then marketing to bigger guys. That sucks. Wasp TV says, if people understood fractional reserve banking, they wouldn't be surprised when this happens. It's inevitable. Yeah, I was pointing on Twitter. I was pointing out that, every single Satoshi is accounted for. I mean, we just developed the ordinals of Bitcoin. And the ordinal system is attached to a single Satoshi. That's like a fraction of a cent in Bitcoin. While the U.S. banks are like, oh well, we're gonna keep 10% of our assets liquid. We're gonna keep 2% of our assets liquid. People were telling me that during COVID, the rule was 0%. You have 0% of your assets liquid. You have 0% of your money that could be withdrawn. Really, that's the rule. Yeah, that seems to be what it is. Karine Jean-Pierre opines on if Fox News should lose its license. Look, the FCC, the way the law is right now, it does not cover cable news. We all know that. Broadcast news, though, it does. It's called distortion. And it has to be, you have to show that they said something false on purpose, they knew was false, and they could be sanctioned. They can lose their license on a network. It doesn't apply to cable. Forget it. The Democrats are going insane. You may not like the coverage of Fox News, but certainly it has been inspired in facts. It has been based in facts in a way that in any sort of proceedings, they could make the case, no, we, we may have gotten it wrong in retrospect, but when we made that statement, we believed it. Absolutely ridiculous. And of course, this is all based on some Fox News, you know, the Rupert Murdoch admitting in a legal case that some of the stories on Fox News turned out to be false. But there's a difference between some guy who owns Fox News ends up finding after the fact that, oh yeah, this turned out to be false, and Tucker Carlson himself believing that it's false while he says it on the stand. This is crazy. It's crazy that we have an American government not honoring the most basic oath to the Constitution, to the First Amendment. Philosoraptor says, noticed how nobody is vegetarian anymore? The crazies are all vegan. Yeah, there may be a what you described there could be a purity spiral. There's a purity spiral because it's a moral domain of moral display, really. That is what veganism is. It's a look at me, look at how moral I am, I don't kill animals. But in this kind of moral argument, there's always someone to your vegan side. There's always someone more vegan than you can be. Because do you eat eggs? Well, okay, eggs, you don't kill a chicken, but you maintain chicken in cages. And so it's the same thing. You have the same amount of suffering. Do you eat fish? Would you eat crickets? Well, I eat crickets because it saves beef. Well, I don't eat crickets because I respect the possibility of cricket cognition. There's a purity spiral through which it's very easy to go when you're engaged in pure moral displays. Stephen Robinson says, as one ages, a vegan diet makes the bones brittle and also does damage to the gut. Yeah, I'm sure that it's so essential, you know, animals. I can't believe when I look at a cow, I cannot believe that a cow is made up of grass. That is awesome. A cow is made up of grass. What else do they eat? They eat grass. And it makes all these tissues solid bone. Like if you're an engineer and I tell you, here's a bunch of grass, make me some bone. I mean, it's a problem we haven't solved, but the beef has solved it. The beef has resolved this problem, and we want to use that solution. We want to trust the beef. They transform grass to bone much better than we do. And so we want the beef to do its thing, transform the grass, and then we boil the bone, and we get a beautiful bone broth. Philosoraptor says, JF, I miss you debating vegans. Yeah, those were fun times. Those were fun times at which we just wanted debate. It's like, and I didn't care about veganism that much. But those were fun times because there had to be a show. We had to create a debate. And people were confronting each other back in those days. Now, there's debate channels like Modern Day Debate, The Crucible. But it's all extremely autistic, you know? It's not as good as back in the days. Because back in the days, we would create the news. We would create an opposition. I was like, no matter what, Andy Warski, no matter what it is, I will take the opposition. I will take the opposing side because we need debates. That's what people love. Wasp TV sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, animal supremacist is what I call them. Plants and animals are both multicellular and both react to environmental stimulation. Bigots. Yes, that's one view. You know, we're destroying plant life. If your respect is centered around life, why would destroying plant life not be as bad? Can you imagine the number of wheat plants you have to kill before you have as much calories as a beef? It's you're gonna kill an entire field. you're just going to rape the field of wheat and burn it to the ground before you generate as much calories as a single cow. Yes, but of course the vegans, they have this obsession with cognitive harm. They have this conception that cognitive beings are those to be respected. As a biologist, I beg to disagree. In fact, that's a debate we've never had, because I was taking such principled positions back in those days. But that could be a fun debate to have with the Ask Yourself Vegan Gains crew. You know, why care about the concept of existing cognitions? There's a lot of angles to adopt here. Existing cognition exists because we are animals who needed a program to adjust our behavior live. A similar system exists in plants. It's just that we don't perceive it as cognition because it's too far from us. But they have a series of ways in which they integrate information from the environment to adjust their growth, to adjust where they will grab, where they will plug their stems, where they will develop new roots to get into the ground. That's just a longer-term cognition. You know, plants live at a longer time scale, but they live just like you. So why care about harm to... And in fact, it's not even harm, because if we found a way to kill chicken in a way that they don't even have time to perceive pain. Like, imagine we have the perfect electrical shock that works in 50 milliseconds, and we know that in 50 milliseconds the chicken doesn't have time to have feelings. The vegan would still take issue. The vegans really take issue with a very specific action, which is the killing of a mind that could have perceived suffering were it exposed to that suffering before dying. And that is a very bizarre concern to have when you think about it. It's the moral basis of leftism. But it's a very bizarre concern to have. Like, that's why I like to think in terms of potential life. Like, the whole chicken genocide argument was based in this, where I'm like, well, if we stop farming chicken, there's all sorts of chicken minds that will not exist. Isn't it as bad to make chicken minds not exist as it is to kill those that exist? Because then veganism is directing us toward the chicken genocide. We're not going to have chicken minds anymore. That's a reversal of the vegan position, because the vegan is like, they have a problem with the outset of life. The moment where your mind becomes a non-mind. Well, then what about the moment where a non-mind becomes a mind? Because if death is that alarming to you, shouldn't non-birth be as alarming? Micronova sends a super chat. He says, the way I look at it is cows with multiple stomachs rely on bacteria to ferment the grass into alcohol. Cows are functional and tasty alcoholics. Well, that's the whole story of farming, you know, with the duck livers, foie gras. It's the whole idea of packing energy into the thing until it becomes so fat that it's tasty. Micronova says, Nicholas Petris, I love animals so much I want them inside me, merging their... merging their life force with my body. We are animal. Resistance is futile. Your tasty uniqueness will be added to the collective. That is some radical meat. How do the vegans call us? Carnivores? That's how they call us? That's a radical carnivorous argument there, Micronova. Saudis want civilian nuclear program in exchange for normalization with Israel. I really hate when they do this. This whole, we can betray our Muslim brothers. A carnist. They call us carnist. I kind of love it. Carnist. I could put this in my Twitter bio. Carnist. Philosoraptor says, Jeff, do you have any animals? Is it allowed? Of course it's allowed in the sense that we are on a big land. We could have animals. We had cats when we were in Quebec, me and Mama JF. I had brought those cats from the US. I had gotten these two baby cats that were brother and sister, that were sisters, TB and GB. Brought them from the US, had them given to me by a woman who had a pregnant old cat, and they were fun to have. But when me and Mama JF planned establishing the plan for our lives, we wanted to dedicate our life to what matters, and cats don't matter. That's the truth. So cats are a good emotional support if you're alone, if that's all you have in life. But when you have things to truly care about in life, cats are really a disruption and they're annoying. And so I gave them to a young shy man. Hopefully he takes good care of them. It's a man who came with a woman, and yeah, they look like a family who was ready to take good care of them. So we gave them in Quebec before we left. It's just too much investment of time and resources. And when you're into what truly matters in life, it's just going to take time away from that. So you want to dedicate everything to high production, high levels of care for these other things in life. Okay, what else do we have in the news before we conclude the show? Oh yeah, some more beating, racial beating, you know. So many white people we see are the victim of racialized violence. And here the 5 years old or whatever that girl is, the 5 years old is joining in. You know, there's a huge cultural problem here. And by cultural here, I don't mean, oh, it's specifically culture and it's not genes. I mean, there's a problem when you raise your children so that at already 4 or 5 years old, they're ready to join you in the fight of beating someone who's already down.
Move the baby! Move the baby! Move the baby!
People are telling me it's an old video. Okay, well, that's the first time I see this one, I think. There is such disrespect, such... The culture is making people too willing to hit on white people, and we pay the price. The people who are most open to living in the city, to living in diverse areas, end up being the most victimized. Stephen Robinson says, this is why women have short hair. Do they? It was my impression that women had long hair. The Norwegian Healthcare Investigation Board has deemed puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and surgery for children and young people experimental, determining that the current gender-affirmative guidelines are not evidence-based and must be revised. Well, thank you. How is it that it takes years for a single country to realize this? We're supposed to have scientists at the top who are making these decisions, and we're like, okay, that's good enough evidence. Oh, well, that seems to be a little bit ideological here, what you're telling us. Everyone could see it. So why can't the people at the top do this in a swift manner that would have made these things not happen at all? Corruption is the answer, says new guy. Probably. Meet the new world's cleanest, fully electric car that removes carbon dioxide from the air. I don't know exactly how they do this, but they say that there's some air entering in here, and some of the CO2 gets converted into carbon. Somehow it gets out of the air. Within 20,000 miles, it can remove about 4.5 pounds of carbon dioxide, which is the equivalent of what a tree does in a year. Otherwise, of course, it's an electrical car, and on top of being electrical, it has also solar panels to do a little bit of the charging of the battery, but it's also a plug-in. Well, friends, make this car work in the snow. Make it so that I can carry my groceries and families with it. And then give me a price point of $20,000 and I'm buying it. Texas legislators have introduced a bill to abolish the DEI bureaucracies in every public university in the state. Our campaign against left-wing racialist ideology is rapidly building momentum, and we will not stop until colorblind equality is the law of the land. Well, yes, that is it's very good what Christopher Rufo is doing in terms of pursuing these diversity bureaucracies that are developing within our institutions. But it shouldn't even be where it stops. Colorblind equality. Colorblind equality. There are problems with it. There's the problem of free association, and do people want to live among each other, or do they want to live mixed? Do they want to live alone? Do they want to live among communities that they feel they are a part of? Those questions are ultimately the ones we should address, but it's good, the first step of Christopher Rufo, because he's working very hard to lead this fight that kicks out the worst of the left. From our institutions. Russia uses ship-to-ship transfers to boost DSL exports to Saudi Arabia. Apparently they can... Why do you use ship-to-ship transfers exactly? Why don't you keep going with the ship? Like, I'm guessing they have to stop. They have to pump the maybe the ships aren't full. Maybe they're combining ships by doing this. Russia is accelerating its exports of DSL to Saudi Arabia by both direct shipments and ship-to-ship transfers using STS loadings, ship-to-ship. Russia is shortening the routes for tankers ahead to Africa and Asia after Moscow is now banned from exporting fuels to the EU. Ah, okay, it's an embargo. So they do ship-to-ship so that it's from a Russian ship to a non-Russian ship. Ah, I get it now. Well, interesting. I think it's wasteful. It must be just a waste of time, a waste of resource. Let us stop interfering with the ability of Russia to develop itself. The scientific revolt against gender ideology has begun. Well, it's been going on for a while. It's just that the normies are taking up with it. The Endocrine Society commissioned two systematic reviews for its clinical practice guideline, one on the effects of sex steroids on lipids and cardiovascular outcomes, the other on the effects on bone health, to indicate the quality of evidence underpinning its various guidelines. The society employed the grade system and judged the quality of evidence for all recommendations on adolescents as low or very low. Thank you. I mean, it's late again. It's very late, but we have a change here. We have a professional scientific society that says, okay, let's look at it objectively here. We don't know that we're doing good on these children. That's a step. That's a start. I think the evidence is pretty strong that you guys are hurting children. I think that's where you should be headed. Micronova sends a super chat. He says, in the Navy, they have refueling in motion called underway replenishment. for both foods, supplies, and fuel. Cargo ships can do this too to avoid docking fees and sanctions against countries. Very interesting. So how do you avoid the cargo fees? Do you say, I'm keeping that port, and then you leave a little bit, and then you transfer the stuff, and you come back, and you say, oh, I never left. How does that work? I would love to see it happen. Big Tech Exodus says, the fact that we have to look at these measures is damning of our sanity. Yeah, exactly. It's like, we totally reverted the normal physiology of the teenage years of this person, and their bone density isn't super good. It's like, yeah, you also ruined their reproductive life. What comes after the Great Liquidation? That is their last news item before we end the show. The primary assumption was that inflation would relent. After that, everything else would neatly fall in line. But that was the general outlook when 2023 commenced. Instead, the opposite is now happening. Inflation is persisting, interest rates are rising, and stock and real estate prices are headed down, down, down. Yes, I have to say that the current circumstances of the economy are worrying, because we have now the combination of high inflation and an economic crash, a kind of depression moment. Will the recovery come immediately, or will we have to go through hard 1 year or two period? I don't know. But certainly it's not, people don't have much of a positive outlook. And with all the systems crumbling, stable coins, SVB, this all could have major effects going into this week. So because the normies only work on Monday, this is hilarious to me. We have to wait Monday to know if we're in a terrible situation. That's where you see that all of human society is a big fake. It's big bullshit. If we were in a dramatic societal moment, you wouldn't wait until Monday for it to happen. It would happen on Saturday. Like if there's something like a zombie invasion, you would suffer it starting on the Saturday, starting on the Friday, starting on the Sunday. But somehow, economic crashes, you have to wait to Monday. That means the people in power who have these Monday to Friday jobs are truly at play here. Rodi Asad says, it would be immediate. Yes, so we are in a fake world where everything is created by bureaucrats and technocrats. I would like to sell everything out of nervousness, but let's wait for my shift on Monday. Thank God we have Bitcoin, which operates 24/7 all the time. That's it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.